Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Well, it is wonderful to be here this morning with you all. As Ben said, we have been absent for almost a year now in Eastern North Carolina, but I am David Thacker. We have been members here at First Baptist for almost 17 years now, our oldest son. And I served as youth pastor for 9 years here. I served as an elder for 4 years. And God has opened up an opportunity for us to go and be a part of something out east that I get to share a little bit with you about, which is really fun because as I look out, there's a lot of new faces that have begun coming to church since we've been out east. And so it's always a fun time of the year for me to get to join into a series like this and bring people along with what this whole thing about Emmanuel Baptist Church has been about. So we are so grateful to be here. We're grateful for the opportunity that we've had many people come out to visit us. I know the video was maybe a little hard to see. Probably one of the things that would really stand out to you if you were able to look at it closely was Trevor Buchanan was in a tool belt. I mean, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. But we are so grateful for y'all coming out and helping to remodel and fix up the church in Kinston, North Carolina. That was a huge blessing. You guys brought a lot of manpower, helped us finish up the apartment that Frank and Jasmine are staying at. And so we are so grateful for those that have come out to do the project and those that have just come out to visit, to encourage the church, to let them see your face, to get to know other people that share our same vision and passion for what we are committed to with the Church of Jesus Christ. And so you got to see a few of those pictures of individuals at Emmanuel from that video as well. So as we start out this morning, I want to introduce you to one of the guys on our leadership team. And I asked him to put together a little bit of a video for you to hear a part of this journey that led us to Emmanuel Baptist Church. This is Mark Gentry.
Hello, Robbinsville First Baptist Church. I'm Mark Gentry. My wife, Holly, and I are members of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Kinston, North Carolina. Several years ago, we were introduced to some truth concepts that were related to the character of God and also for discipleship. These things challenged us, and they also began to change our thoughts about church ministry. One specific discussion was this question, is everything on the table? This was something that specifically challenged me. And so over the next few months, I began to go down a checklist, really, of things that were in my life. And were they on the table for God? My job, my family, even things like my Michael Jordan basketball collection, things that may seem silly. But all of these things, were they on the table for me to sacrifice for God? And so at the end of this maybe couple of months, I came to the conclusion that they were on the table for God. I was willing to give these things up or however God was wanting to use them for His honor and for His glory. That began a process in my family over the last several years where there has been a change in a few things, job changes, even church changes that have began a process in us. But God has been very faithful, and it's been really encouraging to see the growth in our family during this time. So this church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, has been such an answer to my family's prayers over the past several years. I'm thankful to God for Robbinsville First Baptist Church and for your investment in Emmanuel Baptist Church. Robbinsville First Baptist Church has actually ministered to my family over the years as we've had opportunities to visit there. After one particular visit, my wife and I were discussing on the way home about an 8-hour drive how we would love to have a church similar to Robbinsville First Baptist down east. We wish that there was a church down here that was similar that we could attend. What we didn't realize was that Robbinsville First Baptist Church also had a prayer, and that was to extend your outreach. So we were praying the same or similar prayers at the same time. So it's exciting to see God's answering these prayers. We're thankful for what God is doing here in Kinston and also for what God is doing in Robbinsville. Thank you.
Well, that is, like I said, Mark Gentry, one of the guys on our leadership team at Emmanuel Baptist Church, who has had the opportunity to be here at First Baptist. And not just that we're looking to model the service that we do here, but it's the same idea of a church that is committed to the same vision, a church that is committed to the same aim. And so in light of that, that this idea of this journey started with prayer, let's pray together and we will jump into our study today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and to worship you, the opportunity that we have to come and refocus our lives on what is important as we are so easily distractible. Father, I pray that as we share in this story and we focus on the aim of First Baptist, Father, that you would continue to open up our eyes to understand your scriptures, that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth, and that ultimately, Father, you would receive all of the honor and glory and praise in what's being done here and in Kinston. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Mark said, this journey of Emmanuel Baptist Church started out with prayer. Now, I don't know if you ever walked into one of your classes and heard this wonderful phrase when you walked in. Go ahead and take out a sheet of paper for a pop quiz. You know, you get that little sinking feeling in your stomach of, seriously, what is it going to be today? But today I encourage you to do a pop quiz with me. Every year for the last 5 years, we have had prayer requests as a church. So I want you to stop and just take a few seconds to think, how many of those prayer requests could you think of right now off the top of your head? Now, in case you have absolutely no idea how many that is, there's only 4 for this year. And in case you need a cheat sheet, you can flip your bulletin over on the back of the bulletin, and they're printed there every single week. And these things aren't there just for enjoyment or just for, hey, maybe somebody will look at it. But it really, there is a real intent here that we have been committed to. How do we engage with God about what he is doing and bring these prayer requests to God of what we want to see him do here in Robbinsville? So maybe you have this magnet up on your wall. These are the 2022 prayer requests. There's 4 of them. Number 1, that individuals will seek and share wisdom in Christ. So we have an individual facet to this prayer. We have a corporate prayer that God will raise up leaders for growing ministries and new opportunities, that God will continue to expand our outreach. Number 3 is this picture that Ben talked about. We will model and minister to Emmanuel Baptist Church. That's what we are focused on in Kinston, North Carolina. And lastly, that the Life Center will be completed. These are the prayers for this year, but every prayer since 2018 has had facets of this prayer expressed. That there's been an individual desire. God, we want you to do something in each individual life here in the church. Change them, grow them, help them to become more like your Savior. And then there's been a second component to this every year, which is, how do we make sure that we are continuing to pray for and focus outside the walls of this church, both in Robbinsville as well as beyond into other communities or opportunities that God has given us? And God has done that in multiple ways throughout the last 5 years. But we've always had these components. So that when Mark and Holly were praying on the way home back to Eastern North Carolina, saying, man, that would be really fantastic if somehow this vision, this aim, a church like this could exist where we were. Now, Mark and Holly are very dear to us. Holly is Dana's sister, so Mark is my brother-in-law. We've gone through the process and done multiple discipleship studies with them. They've understood that vision. They have tried to help change a church for the last 15 years that would adopt a model and a vision that disciple making is the core purpose of the church. And unfortunately, when that vision doesn't always line up with what the church is aimed at, oftentimes that can become contentious. And so for Mark and Holly, as we got ready to think about going out to Emmanuel Baptist Church, we prayed and asked, would you guys be willing to also make some sacrifices and some changes? They had just started attending a church for about the last 6 or 8 months and beginning to get to know faces and get familiar with people. And yet we knew that if the church in Kinston had a chance, we'd have to have a team of individuals that understood this heart that you all have talked about in the last few weeks, and this heart and passion for disciple making. And so Mark and Holly said yes. They live about 35 minutes from the church, and they're committed to coming and being a part of that. And he's on the leadership team. We have a couple other individuals that are also a part of that team from the church. But this is where he was talking of, we were praying the same prayer. We just didn't recognize how God was actually going to fulfill that. We didn't tell God, this is what we want you to do. It's just, God, this would be a great desire of my heart. And here at First Baptist, we didn't dictate this incredible strategy 5 years ago that said within 5 years, we're going to minister to a church on the other side of the state and to help them to change. We've simply been following a pattern of, Lord, what's next? What opportunity do you have? How can we meet the needs of other people, whether that's within this church family or in Robbinsville and beyond? But the focal point of all this keeps coming back to this idea of prayer, that we are asking God to allow us to be a part of his plan in any way that we possibly can be. So we didn't just randomly pick Kinston, North Carolina on a map. It flew out of a relationship of a church there with some leaders that we knew that the church was struggling. And the church over the last about 5 years had been struggling and slowly declining. They'd had an interim pastor for the last 2.5 years. The membership had continued to decline, and they were really at a crossroads of, is God going to do something here, or do we go ahead and just sell the building and close the door? And about a year ago, we went out there. We did a church evaluation with them to kind of help them just see what's really going on in this church. And in light of the things that were revealed in that church evaluation, then they were left with a choice. What do we do? Is it time for us to abandon this pursuit, go and join other churches, or does God have something here that he still wants to do? And it's out of this idea that we begin to pray through this idea of a partnership. That at First Baptist here, we don't have authority over the church in Kinston, North Carolina. They weren't grafted into our membership. That is a separate local body that's out there. But our desire here at First Baptist was to say, how do we help them in this process? We have individuals that have been committed to this idea of transformation and change for some time. So how can we walk with another church in that endeavor? Because, you see, if you know the history of the church here, there's been a lot of ups and downs in 17 years. There's been a lot of ups and downs well before we even came to this church. And some of you were here for some of those very tough situations at this church. But as we began to prioritize discipleship in this church, there were some people that kind of felt like, you know, that's just a concept of church I've never really been a part of or seen. I just don't know that I want to be a part of that. I'm not really sure that I'm committed to that. And as we begin to change our priorities here at First Baptist, there were individuals that just said, I'm not comfortable with this, and they chose to go elsewhere. And that's okay. Because we felt, as we studied the scriptures, that this is the foundational principle that Jesus, the head of the church, has chosen for his bride. And we're committed to that, not the elders' incredible strategic planning. In fact, for the elders, it's this picture of how do they follow closely to what God is doing. We're not here creating where the future of this church will go. They're just here to be sensitive to what is God doing and how do we get on his game plan. So this idea of partnership was this picture of, can we just come alongside of a church that has been through a lot, is discouraged, and was at a place where they kind of said, you know what, we're willing to do anything. That's a really good foundation to start with. Because you know when a church is struggling and the spiritual life seems to be waning in a church, there is something foundationally that's amiss. Now, that's not a knock or a disgrace to anybody that's in the church. It's just a reality that as the church is built on the foundational principles of God, there's life and there's vitality And there's change that begins to happen when individuals are committed to my life daily changing to being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So when a church is declining or struggling, there's something amiss. So our goal in this partnership was that we were sent out on behalf of First Baptist Church to go and to help lead this. But we recognize the importance of change, and that when change happens, it's pretty hard for people. And sometimes a new vision is pretty hard to understand. So thankfully, you all didn't just send us out there, but you also sent Frank and Jasmine Klein out there as well to be a team, that the church could see what is it that drives these individuals, what drives their decisions, what drives their marriage, and that they could see a pattern of what we were aiming at. And that's really been our goal, is that through every team that comes in and helps, whether that was rebuilding the stage, whether that was the teenagers that came and helped tear out a whole bunch of landscape and cut down some trees, and it's always with this idea of how do we model and encourage this church that yes, there is a high cost to following Christ. I promise it's worth it. Yeah, it may be difficult. There's going to be a lot of uncertainty. God is going to put you out on limbs, that your faith is going to be tested and challenged, but it's worth it. Push it. Keep going. Don't give up. So that as we enter into this partnership, I want to share with you, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians chapter 4. We'll be in Philippians throughout, but the verses will also be on the screen. But I want you to see where we get this pattern. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." But then notice what Paul is really focused on. "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." See, Paul was going out and he was planting churches. He was going into new cities. He was sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that anyone who places their faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can be a part of his family. The simplicity of the gospel message. And the church recognized the aim of what Paul was doing and said, "We want to be a part of that. We want to partner with you in what you're doing and to come alongside of you and encourage you." They sent gifts to take care of it. They also sent Epaphroditus to bring that gift, to be an encouragement to the Apostle Paul. But there was this picture of we want to be a part of that. And this idea of partnership is where we got this idea with First Baptist. That if we can be a help in encouraging another church family to take on the priorities of Jesus Christ, well, then that's a worthwhile endeavor because it's precious to God. And what he views as important, that's what our priorities are. So that's where this idea of us going out to Emmanuel Baptist Church and First Baptist partnering and sending us out there really all came about. But what are we doing? What are we doing out there? You know, from the very first Sunday that we were out there, we're going to talk about this pattern that we're aiming at. We were very clear in our first message, "I want you to know that I have absolutely no strategic church growth plan for us going forward." So, like, if you want to know what's coming in 3 weeks and 6 weeks and 4 months down the road, I have absolutely no idea. Now, what kind of crazy people would actually follow that? And yet, there's a church that was saying, "Look, if we can do it God's way, then this is what we're going to be a part of. We don't know what's coming around the bend. This is not a guarantee that the church will always exist. But what we are committed to is this idea of a pattern." And this pattern is what you all have been talking about for the last 4 weeks. Hopefully you recognize this verse in Matthew 4:19. "Then he said to them, 'Follow me and I will make you fishers of men.'" This is not some complicated church growth strategy. What we have committed to the church is that we will be there to help train and equip spiritual, mature individuals. And then God can take care of whatever he wants to do with the future of the church. And however long he wants us to be there, and whatever role First Baptist or we can play in that, then we rejoice in the opportunity to be a part of fulfilling this pattern. Notice how Paul affirms this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. You're probably familiar with this verse. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. If you have the King James Version, it says, follow me just as I also follow Christ. It's this picture and this idea of Jesus calling the fishermen out, saying, come follow me. But it's not just this picture of come and follow all of my teachings. It's follow along with me. How many of you ever played follow the leader as a kid? Did you love being the guy in charge? I remember a story. My dad told me he was playing follow the leader with a bunch of kids when he was young, and this is certainly, you know, with a stipulation of please don't follow this example. But my dad lived in southern Ohio, and there were a lot of like tall rocks and that kind of stuff, and he got the chance to take the lead. When he did that, he thought, I'm going to do something that everybody's going to remember. There was about a 20-foot tall rock that they were on top of this cave, and he looked out and he saw a tree. He said, I think I can make that tree. So his idea, you know, and the brilliance of his mind was, I'm going to jump off this rock, climb onto that tree, and I'll shimmy you down, and let's see who follows me. So, of course, the leader's the first to go. Dad jumps off the rock and just misses that tree, falling almost 25 feet, landing on his back, looking right beside him to a 3-foot rock that had he moved or missed it another couple of feet, he probably wouldn't be alive today. When Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ, it's not the foolish decision of jumping off a rock trying to hang onto a tree. This is the best possible thing that you could ever experience in this life. And that's his greatest desire. This picture of following, that we're not here dictating the terms to God of this is how you're going to answer our prayers, but Lord, let us be sensitive and committed to what you are committed to. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul goes on to talk about this idea. He says in chapter 3, verse 12, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected. I've not already arrived and am done and growing spiritually. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to grab a hold of this goal. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, this journey is about a continual progression. There's no point as an individual that I've arrived and I can finally just take it easy because I'm, you know, Christ-like enough. The whole picture of discipleship and this idea of follow me as I follow Christ is that I'm going to keep pursuing him. I'm going to keep following after him. But how do we do that? What's this pattern? Verse 17 of the same chapter of Philippians 3, Paul says, brethren, join in following my example. Okay, this is the same pattern, picture that we're talking about. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So I want you to think about that for a minute. This morning, we've been staying with Ben and Jess for the couple of days that we've been here this weekend. We were walking around this morning and Abby was following me around. And she just said, I'm following you. I'm going to do whatever you do. So kids, help me out a second, okay? I want you to follow my example. I want you to rub your belly. Will you rub your belly for me? I want you to rub your belly. Is anybody rubbing their belly? I was teasing Abby this morning. Because it's really difficult when there's one thing coming out of your mouth and a whole different example that's being shown in reality. So you notice that Paul doesn't say, look, just follow what we're doing. That's not the pattern. Or he doesn't say, follow just what we say to do. He says, follow my example. And that is an example that as I follow Christ, as I imitate him, as I do what he does, join in this process. You see, that's the simplicity of discipleship. Join in. Join in following this example and note others that have that same lifestyle. That is the process of discipleship. I've really enjoyed following along in the series, and I'm so grateful for technology that we can be involved and listen to the things that are being taught here and the messages and the series that you guys are working through. But this picture that as Christ is changing me, I want to begin to help other people in that same process. And that's not necessarily a Bible study. That's not necessarily a Sunday school class. But it's just as we go, are we sensitive and attentive to individuals that are around us that I can say, hey, this is the pattern of Christ. I know you're struggling with how your marriage is functioning right now. I know you're struggling with this decision that you have or the situation that's going on in work or how you're raising your kids. But let's go back to the pattern. And the pattern is Christ. How do we imitate him, not just in what he does, but in his heart? That we want God to change us on the very inside at a foundational level, that we are able to love and to be like him in ways that is not possible just by being really self-disciplined and doing the right thing all the time. We're looking for a depth of change that has to come from the heart. Because, follow with me now in this verse, Paul says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And you think, whoa, there were people that were in this pattern and now they're enemies? I don't want to fall into that. What does that look like? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. And listen to his wrap up to all of this. They set their mind on earthly things. They started following a different pattern. Instead of continuing to follow the pattern of Christ, it began to drift. They began to focus on and to believe the patterns of the world. And we can get off course. It is a joy to be able to see God changing the lives of individuals in this church. And our prayer is that you will continue to be an example for Emmanuel Baptist Church, not only individually, but corporately. And the challenge here that we all have to be aware of is that it would be very easy and it can be very subtle to start adopting a different mindset. That as individuals continue to come and new visitors come in, you could start to think, well, how are we going to keep those visitors? What do we have to do? What kind of programs do we have to generate so that people will continue to come? And that little shift now begins to be about people and how to retain them versus, no, we are committed to following the head of the church. And we are encouraging everyone in this community and all in the relationships that we have, keep following Christ. And if you want to be a part of that vision and that aim, you will find many individuals that share that same thought and that same unity if you want to come to this church. People can be committed to this aim and vision outside of First Baptist. It's not something that, you know, we have a single focus that nobody else in this world has. This is a vision of God's church, whom Jesus Christ is the head, and he's been very clear of this is the pattern. So that as we go out to Emmanuel and Kinston, the picture is how do we help them to see this pattern? We start by focusing on the character of God. Because there's a lot of things that people believe and do, and they do that because they've heard it this one time. But when you start challenging it, is that really the character of God? It starts to shift how they view the scriptures. So we focus intently on who God is and encourage them, follow the pattern. Our prayer for First Baptist, who we love dearly, comes down to Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. See that beloved, that picture of agape love. I know there are individuals in here that don't know our family very well. There are other individuals that we have very deep, deep, lasting relationships that we will be forever grateful for no matter where in the world we are. But our prayer for the church here is that stay focused on what is important. Because there are other individuals and there are other churches that are looking to you saying, is it really worth it? What does God's principle really look like lived out in the corporate setting as well as individually in my life? Keep that model, keep that pattern. As we continue to think about Emmanuel and how do you guys pray for us, there's two prayers that come to mind, and number one fits right along with the vision that you guys have been focusing on for the last few weeks, is that God will raise up leaders who follow him and become fishers of men to train others. That's the same heart. Our goal there has been to build relationships and to grow in relationships with individuals and introduce them into what God really desires. But this church is not dependent upon us doing discipleship or Frank and Jasmine just doing discipleship. The only way this church has a future is if there are other people that understand that concept, that this is Jesus' priority, and say, that's what I want to be a part of. That's true here for First Baptist as well. The future depends on other people saying, that's a vision that I want to be a part of. God, change me, equip me, do whatever you have to do to help me to be ready to encourage others. Follow me in the same way that I'm following Christ. The second thing that you can pray for is that the 1st of November, November 4th and 5th, Emmanuel is doing an AIM conference. So after this year, we've been praying about how to help the church identify and clearly articulate what the aim of the church is and how to define it corporately together all in the same way. Now, some of you were a part of a AIM conference that we did three or four years ago that we did here. And it was out of that conference that the purpose for First Baptist came about. That as the body of Christ, our aim is to make disciples who love and live like Jesus. But my encouragement to you, church, is we need you to keep standing. We need you to keep your mindset focused on the things that really matter to God and not to get distracted so that you can continue to be an example to Emmanuel or to any other opportunities that God may give this church. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know how long this assignment will be at Emmanuel, but we don't know if God is opening up other opportunities in the future that we're going to need people that can be sent out to say, help this church see the pattern. So I encourage you, if I know they're going to be getting together another work team in the next few months, if you're going to come and be a part of that at Emmanuel, that is our greatest prayer of help them see the pattern. What is the attitude in which we serve? Not just the projects that we do. Help them see this pattern individually. You have been an encouragement to them already. So as we get ready to wrap up today, our desire is to keep the aim. If you're very familiar with me, you know this is an idea that I get very excited about when we talk about purpose and making sure that what we do stays on point. That every decision that we make at First Baptist here flows through this idea. Does it achieve that objective? And if not, it's not something that we pursue. But know that we're still continuing to pray. Lord, expand and bring up leaders that will be equipped for new opportunities that you give us here at First Baptist to serve. We don't know what that could look like, but we want you to be a part of it. But you have to do it more than just in word. people need to see this life lived out. They need to see that it's really worth it in your own life. And yes, you're going to make mistakes, and there's ups and downs in this journey of discipleship. That's normal. Don't get discouraged. But when you do fail, you confess that to God and you get right back in the journey. Don't allow that to defeat you. Keep following our Savior. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be among family. Lord, I'm so grateful for this church. I'm so grateful for the passion and the energy that is committed to your aims and your purpose in disciple making. Father, our prayer is that you would continue to have individuals that would say yes to this journey. Because we know that the future of the church is dependent on everyone saying yes and joining in to this process of disciple making. Thank you for all that you're doing here. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. If you want to go ahead and stand, we'll close out with a song.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.